Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you have a kid, if you want a kid, if you have a grandkid, if there's anything about kids that you like or dislike particularly, you might be able to edify yourself with the Columbus Parent Magazine. It is sort of a new reconstituted magazine. It's the new format popped out in August. And joining me now is the editor of Columbus Parent Magazine, Jane Hawes. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Thank you, Ann.
The disclaimer, of course, this hour is Jane and I go way back.
Way back,
at
yeah.
The Columbus Dispatch, where I was
State desk editor.
And you were a correspondent for us, and a very good one. Always enjoyed it. And Very happy for your success.
Yes, and everything I learned about multiple sourcing and stories I owe to Anne. And you are also the visionary. You'll be pleased to know there are a lot more women now, other than just me back then, who are working from home and are working on a contract basis as a freelancer. And you were the first one to think that up, that arrangement up for me, which helped tremendously. So
it helped me too to have you. I would do anything I could to keep you, Jane.
Thanks.
And now, are you working from home? What's the situation now?
Well, no, what actually happened was, I think it was April, I found out about this opportunity with Columbus Parent, which is a dispatch publication. And it's been around since 1988. The Dispatch Printing Company purchased it in 1993. And originally, it was part of our This Week newspaper division. Then they decided to move it over to the what's called Niche Publications, which also owns Columbus Alive, Capital Style Magazine, Fronteras, which is our Spanish language publication, and Columbus Parent is part of that team now. We all work from downtown at the Big D building.
Okay.
And but I have quite a lot of freedom because I sort of have to roam and get out and do a lot of things. So it's a combination of there in the office, from home, you know, a little bit, but also just being out and about.
So as editor, what exactly do you do?
Well, first we decided to look at what the magazine was. Did we want a different look? Did we want different content? And we went back and we did that. And that was basically, I started in May, and until we relaunched in August, that's what we were spending all our time doing. And doing the market research, finding out what people wanted. And what we found was they loved finding out about the local businesses and the services and the places that you can go, you know, to get the things you need. But they wanted more local content, finding out about people, things to do, that sort of a thing. So we got everything back to working with local writers and photographers and focusing on everything that's local is the content now. And we redesigned it completely.
It's very colorful.
Yes, all props. Rebecca Zimmer is our production manager. Mm-hmm. Michaela Schuett is our graphic designer. And they did an amazing job. I mean, I hear more often about how it looks sometimes than I do about what's in it. But I'll take the compliments for them. And, yeah.
And I have to say, the first time I went through it, I thought I was my first question was going to be is what percentage is going to be local? Because a lot of this niche publishing now is and for lots of good reasons. Mm-hmm. They have a national or a larger you know, they have stuff that's being reused in other locations.
Yeah.
But, and then they personalize it or they localize it with some content that's
right.
local. But yours is 100%.
Yeah, it is. That was a conscious decision. That's the feedback we were getting from people. That was definitely my gut instinct, was that because of the success that I saw that Columbus Alive has had and Capital Style, is just getting the focus entirely on local. So we're foregoing some of the syndicated you know, articles and features and columns that are available out there. But, you know, honestly, I feel like you can get all that on the internet. You can get it from the national publications, you know, your parent magazines, Family Fun, things like that. Where we have the opportunity, I think, to do something different is to somebody called it hyper-localized. And I think it's the trend nowadays in the industry is to sort of shrink back. We expanded to sort of our global perspective, now we're shrinking back because we're finding that's what people really want.
And they can't get it anywhere else.
I don't think so. I mean, it takes a heck of a lot of searching on your own to get some of this information that we're, you know, trying to combine into one, publication. So it makes it easier for people to find what they want in terms of the calendar of events, but then also the ideas. We have a new section called Family Fun, which is all like cooking ideas with your kids, party ideas, eating out with kids. I've taken my son Colin, who is now 12, and he comes with me and we review restaurants, my take and then his take. And you know Colin, he has opinions. So it's
a
cool,
what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. I mean, his perspective on things is way different than mine. His standards for bathroom cleanliness really not as high as mine.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but it's been a lot of fun with that. So.
My guest is Jane Haas. She's editor of Columbus Parent Magazine. If you have a question, comment for Jane Haas, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you can go to the Facebook page, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and post something there. Or you can Twitter me at Ann Fisher WOSU. Won't go through that long list anymore. Now, what was the content was going to be hyper-local.
Mm-hmm.
So define hyper-local to me. I'm not quite sure. You mean it's all local and that makes it hyper-local or?
Yeah, it really is all local. I mean, it's
but is that what defines hyper-local?
I think it's sort of an extreme approach. I mean, it's not just that the content, that the focus is local. It's that the people that I'm working with who are doing the writing are local, and the photographers, they know this market. A number of the writers whom I've been contacted by who would like to, write for the magazine were, frankly, they were in other states, and they're like, oh, but we can write about this. We know the area pretty well. And I'm like, no, you don't know it as well as, some of the people. Melissa Kossler-Dutton is doing a lot of work for us, and she knows this area like the back of her hand, and she can write about it knowledgeably. And coming up with the ideas, that's the thing that I'm enjoying. I mean, I live up in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
I know Delaware County really well, especially from writing about it for the Dispatch for 15 years. But, I'm working with writers who are all around sort of the circumference of Columbus and in there. And it's just amazing to me, just sort of the little things that you find out about, some of the shops, the parks. We do playground reviews now. I think people... It might seem like a silly thing to go review a playground, but that matters to parents. I remember the one at Worthington Rec Center.
Mm-hmm.
You told me about that one mm-hmm. the first time. And that was like the first time that I ever experienced the really bouncy surface because it was still fairly new. And it was
accessible.
Yeah, and it was universally mm-hmm. accessible
right.
playground. And that's the kind of thing that I think parents usually share with each other, but when you sort of get this network of people who are truly local communicating with each other, and we're starting to get some of that too with the Facebooking and the emails that we're receiving, and I definitely want more of them telling us, what are the cool things to check out? Because with playgrounds, I find it's interesting. Some parents have a limit. They'll go 10 miles from home, but then, there are other parents who'll drive 25 miles to get to a really good playground. And that's the kind of thing that...
Who's your market? Because is it stay-home moms? Is it everybody? How do you decide who you're speaking to and what their mm-hmm. time constraints are, what their economic constraints might
yeah.
be, particularly
yeah.
during this, extenuating...
Well, what we found, what we definitely found, and we did a lot of research, focus groups ahead of time, and what we found is though we are trying to hit the market that has children ages 0 to 18, the predominance of readers are sort of in that preschool and grade school age bracket. A lot of times they may be first-time parents and definitely looking for information. It does seem to be a real mix of the stay-at-homes and the working parents. I want to try to hit the dads more, but we know without a doubt. It's mostly the moms. But, you know, that's something as we evolve, we'll be able to hit more of that. And what we're finding most people are using it for is to make decisions about how to spend their money and getting that input and ideas. I know for myself, I've been picking it up. I've been a parent now for 17 years, and I've been picking it up all that time and definitely did always use the ads. That's never changed. What we found is people had started to maybe tune out a little bit of what the articles were about as they got away from being more locally focused. So bringing it back in, I think the complaint I hear is now people say it takes longer to read it. That's not a bad problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a good problem.
How do you avoid the possible? Well, lots of people. When you're at a cocktail party or when you're in any kind of mixed bag of people, you really don't talk about religion and politics. There's all those rules, but telling people what makes a good parent is another topic. You know, you can kind of commiserate with each other, but you can't preach to another parent.
Yeah,
there's a line that you cross there.
Right.
How do you avoid that with this kind of a publication?
I found just even in my personal life, and I'm trying to translate this over to the magazine, is keep it the I message. You know, this is what I found works for me and my family, but I respect what you do for your family. I think as long as you broach it that way, because we are trying to reflect the diversity of different experiences out there. I mean, every family's unique, and we're trying to, you know, feature everything that runs the gamut economically, you know, from things that are low or no cost all the way up to sort of the blue sky items. We had a beautiful birthday party that a mom put together, and really she kind of did it very economically, but it was at Franklin Park Conservatory. And, you know, I heard a little complaints from two readers, you know, who thought, oh, that's just way too expensive. You know, are you only focusing on people who have a lot of money? And it's like, well, no, but we've got to reflect the range of experiences out there that people have. And sometimes, too, I think, you know, you read these magazines, like you read Vogue magazine. You know, I'm not going to go buy a $5,000 dress, but I'm going to look at that and go, oh, well, minimalism's in. I can do that, you know, on my target budget. So, you know, that's the idea with some of these things where we're showing the range of possibilities. There.
We're going to have to take a quick break. My guest is Jane Haas. She's editor of Columbus Parent Magazine. If you have a question or comment for her, if you read the magazine and have a critique.
Yeah, please. We
give
want
us a
feedback.
Call. 614. Yeah. It's kind of a new baby. It's the new reconstituted version came out in August. There's the September edition out now, and the October one's coming out next week.
Monday.
Next Monday. Mm-hmm. Okay. So give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
In today's economic climate, there is only one sure bet. The world is changing, and at lightning speed. I'm Kai Rizdal. As the day's events unfold, join us for the very latest, later on Marketplace, from American Public Media.
Weekday evenings at 6 on WOSU 820.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear conversations with legendary personalities like comedian Joan Rivers.
My first joke was my husband killed himself and left a message that I have to visit him every day, so I had him cremated and sprinkled him in Neiman Marcus. Now, haven't missed a day.
Icons of the entertainment world on Fresh Air.
Weekdays at noon on WOSU 820, NPR News. Get the latest information from WOSU the way you want it, daily, biweekly, or monthly. Go to WOSU.org/email to sign up for one of WOSU's e-newsletters.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking with Jane Hawes. She's the editor, the new editor of Columbus Parent Magazine, the new reconstituted Columbus Parent Magazine. The website is columbusparent.com. If you want to give it a look there, if you'd like to join the show, 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'd love to hear what you think about the magazine, and if you have any questions for Jane. It says that your goal is to create a written and visual record of what it's like to be a family in Central Ohio. And you were talking about reflecting all that diversity and that kind of thing. How do you really do that? Because it's
– well, I think in some ways it's almost a mental exercise for me, because initially I felt so overwhelmed knowing what's out there, how much there is. It's like, how am I ever going to fit this all in? And I realized, no, this is a process. This is
12 months in a year.
Yeah, 12 months in a year, and, you know, I'll hopefully be there for a while. And, you know, it's just going to build on itself, and that's how I look at it. You know, just like in the last week, I went to interview, you probably know her, Mimi
Chenfield.
Yeah, and she's going to be our profile subject for the November issue. And I was just like, you know, these are amazing people that I have the privilege to go spend time with and be inspired by. You know, later this week, I'm going to take my son out to the Works Museum in Newark, which is supposed to be amazing, and trying to figure out if anybody can give me tips if I can combine a trip to the Earthworks up there as well with
the first time
with that outing. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's doable, but I'm scoping it out with my map questing and everything, and it looks like it, but yeah, I don't know. But so the idea is that it's going to build on itself. And we just hired this great young new photographer, Daniel Soner, out of Ohio University. And I told him one of the things I want him to do, in addition to the assignments that we commission, is to grab photos of families. You know, and I'm thinking we're going to put it together for like a photo exhibit at some point, an art exhibit called Columbus Parenting. Just something that shows us what is it like, because you know, when you go to the playground and you see parents interacting with their kids, you go to the festivals, you go to the theater, you just see so many different people, and it's really cool. And I feel
so
like
so many different kinds of families.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we're very committed, and I'm very excited that my publisher Katie Wolf Lloyd and director Brian Lindemood are also very committed to reflecting that diversity of experience that, you know, is out there. And you know, I just feel like we're sort of chiseling away at getting to everybody. And you know, we might not have hit every, you know, point in the market in the first two issues, but it's like we're on our way.
There's tough stories out there to do.
Yep.
Adoption.
Yeah.
Mixed marriages.
Yep. Same-sex marriages.
Same-sex marriage. Yep. Gay parenting.
Yep.
You know, that all of that is that all on your radar?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And I'm ready for the angry emails that we might get with some of them. But it's like, you know what? This is reality. This is, you know, these are people and these are their lives, and we have a responsibility as journalists to reflect that. We are the mirror, basically. We're not trying to dictate how people are going to live their lives, but I think we're committed to showing how they live their lives. So that's what I'm pretty excited about. And we have, you know, we're building it, and we have profiles that we do, you know, like with Mimi, the people you should meet, you know, folks who work with families as part of their vocation in life, profiles of parents. I'm excited. I'm waiting to find out. We're going to get a Columbus Blue Jacket mom in the upcoming months.
A little celebrity down there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I don't know, Ann, you might be on the radar too. So
yeah. Oh, mommy.
Yeah.
You wanted to accent on the positive. So,
oh, yeah.
So how do you? So when you take these tough stories and these tough issues, how do you accent on the? I mean, is it?
Well, the October issue, I think, is a really good example for me personally. We have a special theme in there of focusing on autism spectrum disorders. We partnered with the folks who do the Autism Speaks, the Walk Now for Autism Speaks. It's going to be on October the 10th here at the Schottenstein Center. And what I decided to do, though, instead of just, you know, sort of a special article about autism and, you know, gosh, here's this problem, is I want to integrate coverage of families who live with the challenge of autism into our regular features. So we have the Cooking with Kids is a mom, Audrey Todd, who started the Food for Good Thought Bakery in Clintonville recently. Her son, Liam Bogner, he's six. He has profound autism. But she uses cooking as a way to connect with him and to facilitate his therapy. And that was just the coolest story. And they made these gluten-free blueberry muffins for us. And we're going to have a download available of her recipe, because what she does, which was so cool, is she has a big binder, and it's on 21 pages. She's broken the whole recipe into photos for him to see, then very simple instructions that he's learning to read. He actually reads, I think, quite well for any six-year-old. But the way that she does it in helping him is like, I never even realized it. When she turns a page in the binder, she takes the page, brings it up to here, and waits. And then he takes the page and continues to turn it. And you're like, oh, yeah, you never stop to think about how does a child learn how to read a book? And what she does is very thoughtfully breaks it down into sections of the actions that they're doing. So that was one. Playground Patrol, we're going to COSI. The little kids space is very popular with families whose children have autism for a number of reasons. It's apparently the water play area is very popular and very stimulating, but in a good way for the children. So we worked a lot of it into our normal coverage, because it's sort of like, yeah, these are families too. They're looking to satisfy the same needs as anybody else, of finding places for their children to play, to eat out, to cook with, those kinds of things. So instead of making them feel isolated and set off, it's like, no, let's just integrate this. And that's something that I was really, really pleased with.
Okay, 614-292. If you want to talk with Jane Haas, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Rod, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You want to talk about playground politics?
Yes, I guess you could put it that way. You were talking about the Worthington playgrounds being so nice. One reason that Worthington has nice libraries and schools and playgrounds is that those people have been willing to impose the taxes upon themselves to have these nice things. Another thing that kind of bothered me was I'm a bicyclist, conserving energy is important, and you mentioned women wanting to parents wanting to drive 25 miles or so use these facilities. I was wondering if you might have discussions in the magazine where talk about like I said, if you want nice playgrounds and so forth, you need to pay for them, in terms of your local taxes and having so forth, and also convincing other people to pay for these facilities.
The idea of cost-benefit analysis, basically, for our recreation needs, it's definitely a big issue, and that's a good one to look at. I know Westerville, we just did a review on their new one, the Millstone Creek Park, and it's phenomenal, but it's like, it costs somebody a pretty penny, and those of us who drive in from elsewhere to use it do absolutely appreciate that. You raise some really good points there, and that is something that definitely would be worth looking at.
Rod, like the playground at the community center in Worthington, it's a universal playground, and I know people use it, but a lot of times when I go over there, there's nobody there at all. And for people who have kids who are physically handicapped, or who could otherwise benefit from it, would you not want them there?
Well, so far as that's concerned, you know, I have no problem with people using the facility. So mm-hmm. far as that's, you know, that's concerned.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't know how many people use it. You know, I'm going to take what you said, you know, at face value that, you know, there's not that many people using the park facilities. And I think part of that is that Worthington is an aging community now. Most of the people that have children live in West Worthington and, you know, places like that, live in the newer areas. And,
do you think, if I can ask Rod, do you think people have a problem with us saying, hey, you need to go to this other community where you don't pay taxes to use their playgrounds? Do you think most folks would have a problem with that?
Well, I honestly don't know. Yeah. I know that Bexley mm-hmm. has restrictions on their playgrounds, you know, that or, you know, their facilities that only Bexley residents can use them.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my concern was that, you're going to, by advertising these playground facilities and so forth, you're going to have hordes of people mm-hmm. coming in and using them.
Mm-hmm.
I think, too, and this is a philosophy, I guess, I don't know if you want to say it's a philosophy, but, mm-hmm. Basically, politics is the way we decide, what we do in this society. And, I think it's only... To a sense, it's only fair that, if you want nice playgrounds and so forth, you need to advocate for them. And, mm-hmm. I'm as a cyclist, I mm-hmm. advocate for biking facilities. And
yeah.
mm-hmm. that's why
and those
we
aren't
have,
cheap, those
nice
paths.
Trails,
yeah. yeah, yeah. No, and actually next June, I think it is, we're scheduled, we're going to do something sort of on the outdoor adventure. John Ross, our columnist with Columbus Alive, is going to help me put together something that's going to get us, out to nature, beyond the man-made planning, with so much that is available out there, including the cycling and the rock climbing and the kayaking and all that. So, I mean, there's a variety of ways. I mean, I have to say personally, because I am also still an active athlete, I think anything that gets people moving, mm-hmm. it's a good use of our money and our time. So, I definitely would have appreciated knowing some more, things when my children were very young and mm-hmm. I didn't know all the, where all the good playgrounds were. I'd like to think it's a value added for families, but no, your point's well taken that, and it is. I mean, nowadays, is it a luxury or is it a necessity? I don't know. I honestly don't.
Rod, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the time.
You
thank
bet.
You.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, we have an email here. It says, hi, Ann. Could you tell Jane I am headed to the grocery store and ask her what she would like for dinner? And it's signed Richard, but I think his actual real name is
that
Dick.
That would be Dick Haas.
And,
Dick and Jane. Yep.
And Dick,
thanks, honey.
If you want to give us a call,
yeah.
614-292-8513, because I would like to talk about that article in the
September issue yeah.
about how to choose or how to decide what sports, what athletic pursuit, it doesn't always have to be a mm-hmm. team sport, but what athletic pursuit will suit your child.
Mm-hmm. We were sort of
But it should be, yeah. Dick is, of course, yeah. the swim coach at Ohio Wesleyan University,
yes. and
so
he's
just for a little credibility.
He's a professor of exercise physiology, and we both feel very passionately. You've heard us talk about
it
for years.
You were on track at Villanova.
Yeah,
if I
was. Thank you. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've sort of learned being a coach's wife is just seeing a lot of times parents do come into what their children are doing with some expectations or hopes and ambitions, and it doesn't always match what the child wants or what they're physically capable of doing. So when I convinced Dick, and honey, we need another gallon of milk, and I think we should do pasta tonight for dinner. But, this is the nice thing with my working
it's
full-time.
Kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah. I know it is. This is very convenient.
It never calls me.
I know.
So.
But what we – sort of one of our soapbox issues in our own life has been to encourage parents to look at their children objectively and see them as who they are, not who they want them to be. And this guide that we came up with basically assessed children or anybody physically on your attributes. And then we made suggestions in terms of, well, then what sports maybe would you like to give a try? It doesn't always have to be the biggies of football, baseball, basketball, soccer now. Are there other sports? You know, I actually use the process to guide myself into signing my son Colin up to try fencing. And he's taken to it like a dream. I'm not sure about the idea of giving him a weapon, but, you know, it's...
Well, anything can be a weapon.
I know, seriously, know. Yeah, with a boy. So, you know, but that was something Dick really understands, sort of the physiological theories behind everything. And usually can convince parents, you know, when there's a good fit or when there isn't. But we tried to put it in writing for the September issue. And it sort of piggybacked off what our colleagues on the Dispatch newspaper side did with that big series on youth sports.
Right.
You know, they were looking at everything that has gotten a little messed up. We decided to take sort of the softer, gentler approach there of, okay, well, here are the things, you know, that are going right, and here's what you can, you know, try to do. Like including our cover model, the hockey mom.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sadie Brown. She's a school teacher from Powell, and she started learning how to play ice hockey. Her husband, Kurt, played for OSU back in the 90s, and her son, Carter, who's on the cover with her, he's five, and he's playing himself, but she decided to start playing. And that, we found, is a really positive way for parents to maybe learn more about what their child is doing, helps reduce, you know, adjust their expectations and understanding of a sport. And, you know, these women were saying they're part of a league that plays up at Chiller North in Lewis Center, that it makes them better spectators. They're not as apt to get angry at the ref, you know, get frustrated with their child because they know what it feels like, you know, to lose the puck and when something gets away from you. So, you know, that was where we were emphasizing the positive. That's another example.
You look at attributes, matching mm-hmm. natural attributes yeah. to activities, and kids develop, though, at different rates.
Right.
So a kid that might not have the mm-hmm. eye-hand coordination when they're 5 or 6 years old and on the ice for
uh-huh.
hockey may
yeah.
develop it over time
yeah.
And become exceptional at it mm-hmm. later. How do you avoid cutting your kid or trunking
limiting
a possible,
limiting. Well, what we did in the first part of the article was talked about sort of what are those phases, and, you know, made our little plea to, no, not before the age of five should you be getting them involved in really organized sports and training. You just let them play.
Why is that? Because
A lot of it is you really don't want to get into the super skill specific stuff until about 11 or 12
mm-hmm.
because those growth spurts that occur then between 11 and 14 are going to undo everything they learned in the first place. It's the body that you have on the other end of puberty that's going to determine, well, is this something that you're going to be really good at and continue to do for life?
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of parents think, oh, no, we got to cram those skills in and that heavy training in starting in the single-digit ages. And no, you don't, because they're going to go through a period where they lose those skills, and that's where the frustration increases and the burnout happens. And it shouldn't. It doesn't have to happen. Parents can just be patient.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We have to take another break. My guest is Jane Hawes. She's editor of Columbus Parent Magazine. We were just talking about an article that she and her husband Dick wrote. It's called Picking the Right Sport. It's in the Columbus Parent September edition. If you have a question or comment when we return from the break, 614-292-8513, and we'll get to those calls when we do return. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Tom Ashbrook, host of NPR's On Point. One thing I love about radio is the intimacy of the human voice, the sound of people making an honest effort to understand the world and each other. That's the effort we make here every day. Come join us for the next On Point.
Weekday afternoons at 1 on WOSU 820, NPR News.
Mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove. ask Robert Plant what he hears when he listens to himself in Led Zeppelin.
Well, I'm hearing a guy who's really quite precocious, and he's looking into the crowd and wiggling his legs about and wondering what's for supper.
What indeed. Robert Plant, one of NPR's 50 great voices. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on WOSU 89.7. Support for WOSU comes from the McCoy Center. A sustaining membership automatically renews, saving you and WOSU time and money. Give $20, $50, or $100 a month to show your continuous support for WOSU. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org. Support for WOSU comes from the McCoy Center for the Arts. Breast cancer survivor and author of The Middle Place and Lift, Kelly Corrigan, will share her experiences Thursday, September 30th at the McCoy Center for the Arts in New Albany. Details at mccoycenter.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Jane Haas. She's the new editor of Columbus Parent Magazine. We were just talking about how to choose sports for your children, how to make it body appropriate, physiologically appropriate, and emotionally appropriate. Mm-hmm. And let's see, joining us now, I guess we're going to have Dick on the air with
us. The co-author.
Welcome, Dick, to the show.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. Did you get my message? We need milk.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good.
I got it written down.
Okay,
so,
good.
Hey, Dick, was this an article that you've wanted to write for a long time? Is this something you've been sort of griping about behind the scenes as the swimming coach at Ohio Wesleyan?
Yeah. Well, not so much, you know, at Ohio Wesleyan. The group of kids that we get there are at an age where they've they've already pretty much matured, and you don't get it's more a matter of the younger age groups and how you bring a lot of those those kids along over time. And I do work with some age group kids with swimming, and it is actually how the program that I run is set up, is so that we teach them correct movements first and then move them into more specific things as they get older. And we also encourage them, and even at the college age, we encourage them to do other activities.
You've been a big advocate of kids. Well, you love getting athletes who've started off with martial arts, with dance, with a lot of those. I've always said you can see it. They know how to take instructions and corrections and move their bodies well.
Yeah, because a lot of the early age activities are basically connecting the nerves to the muscles and teaching them, correct how to move. They know where their body is in space. And everybody has a different ability at that. I mean, not everyone is going to be great at knowing where their hands and feet are at all times, but that kind of training early on is very helpful. Makes them a better athlete no matter what they decide to do when they get older.
Okay. Well, Dick, thanks for your call.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
And I'm going to the store now. So
okay. Thanks, honey.
Get on with
okay.
it. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
614-292-8513. And Stefania, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I was just calling in response to your question about choosing a sport for children.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is my kids are now 24 and 20, but
congratulations.
Well, thank you. we spent summers at the wonderful old, no longer existing Olentangy pool because I love to swim, and so the kids mm-hmm. learned to swim early. But
yeah.
basically, we went to the rec centers and let them sign up for whatever they wanted to sign up for. And, you know, they did soccer and martial arts and gymnastics. And fortunately, they both ended up enjoying swimming. And believe it or not, they both swam competitively.
Good.
So they didn't have to be, one uh-huh. parent with one and one with the other. But
yeah.
basically, we let the kids direct because we didn't care. We just wanted them to be active and enjoy
yeah.
sports. And swimming is great because you can do it your whole life and mm-hmm. you don't need a team. And
Yeah, and back then, too, I mean, I remember from growing up, what you got at the rec centers in the summers was a multi-sports camp where you got to dabble in
right.
everything. And That's hard to find nowadays, I think. There's so much pressure to specialize at such a young age. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
now, how old
right.
were your kids, would you say, when they made that commitment to pick swimming?
Well, our daughter was 7,
okay.
and she just loved it. And mm-hmm. she got kind of recruited by a friend.
Mm-hmm.
They needed somebody on their, it was a Northland swim team.
Uh-huh.
And so, and that was just a really good experience. The parents were all
mm-hmm.
just enjoying having their kids swim and, you know, pitched in and helped.
Yeah.
And,
that's a nice club, actually. Our hometown team in Delaware swims against them in the summers. That's a very nice club. I have to compliment
yeah.
them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And so that was great. And then our son, I guess when he was about the same age, or no, mm-hmm. I guess he must have been a little bit younger, mm-hmm. watching his sister do this, you know,
going oh, yeah.
to watch him
yeah.
eat of course.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then he loved the water from an early age anyway. So
right.
That uh-huh. seems kind of natural.
Yeah.
So that was good, yeah.
yeah.
It was interesting, that comment by the person earlier, I was mm-hmm. shocked to hear that Bexley limits their
I haven't
people.
Heard that either, and I'm definitely going to, yeah,
of,
look into that.
Anyone, and I remember thinking, as I'd wait in these horrendously long lines at the rec center, Whetstone, to mm-hmm. sign the kids up, there were people from all over. I mean,
well, it's one thing to use it's one thing to use the rec center facilities. I think there's that difference in using the parks. You know what I mean?
But I don't know.
Well,
yeah, how'd they be policing
well,
that?
Well, that's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I couldn't imagine trying to police it.
Yeah. yeah. yeah I want your ID, please. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Are you a taxpayer
yeah.
in this?
Yeah.
Subject?
Asking 5-year-old yeah. children on the yeah. seesaw for their ID. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That sounds really strange.
Well, it's worth checking out, definitely, though. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Stephanie.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
614-292-8513. And Melissa, welcome to the show. You're on the air with Jane Hawes.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Yeah,
thank you.
My husband and I, we've been married for 10 years, and we've been together for 13.
Mm-hmm.
And at least 8 of those years that we've been together, he's been a stay-at-home dad.
Oh, good for him.
Good for you.
Yeah.
He was And he also, you know, he takes care of our grandchildren
oh.
and one of our neighborhoods. We have like a, mm-hmm. My daughter has a best friend,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, who has just comes over all the time. She's like the extra daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one that's at home and makes sure that everybody gets fed. He cleans mm-hmm. the house. I can't tell you.
Honey, you married a gem. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But is, I was just wondering, are you going to maybe do any stay-at-home dad stories?
Yeah. In fact, I was just having a conversation the other day with one of my colleagues, Christy Eckert, who's the editor of Capital Style, because we were remarking on the number of stay-at-home dads we have that we both know. And initially, I did have it in the works to have a stay-at-home dad as one of our columnists. It didn't happen for various reasons, but that's sort of one of those things as the magazine continues to evolve that I really want to beef that up, because I am starting to hear from more dads, not just the stay-at-home dads, but, you know, dads in general, that I think men today are much more involved than, you know, what we even knew growing up. And it's perfectly normal, perfectly natural, and they bring great energy and ideas to what they're doing. What I find interesting, actually, is a lot of the parent perspective column we have, and that's our reader-submitted column. Most of the submissions I get are from men. And,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I'm encouraged because they usually have a really wicked sense of humor, which I appreciate. absolutely, point well taken. We want to do more with the dads. And now let me ask you this. When Christy and I were having the conversation, she said that her first instinct a lot of times was to wonder, well, why? Did they lose their job? And, you know, I was like, I don't know. Is that I necessarily, I don't know.
Is it relevant, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, or is it just a lifestyle choice, period?
I think about that, too. But
uh-huh.
in our situation, when we, you know, we have a blended family, yours
mm-hmm.
is and ours,
yeah.
and we had smaller children,
mm-hmm.
and when we was thinking about doing child care is very,
very expensive, yeah,
children. And then we were thinking about doing, well, okay, I work one shift, you work the other,
mm.
I work in IT, so sometimes there would be a situation where I would need to go in early. He wouldn't be home yet.
Right.
So we just decided that, you know what, he hated his job anyway.
Yeah.
I said, why don't you just go ahead and stay home? I had the better earning potential, so that played a part into it. And that's how we came up with it. Now, it was difficult for him and me at the beginning because traditionally, you know, the woman is supposed to stay home. But the more that I think about it, it's like, is it any, is you go through the same decision, decision-making processing, whether it's a man or a woman that stays home. We thought about the finances. We thought about the children. We also had a bad experience with the babysitter.
Okay, that'll
do
it.
That was something that went, that was the thought that went into it. So it just makes it a lot easier. I'm at ease when I'm at work. There's a little bit of guilt sometimes because my daughter is like, well, why aren't you home? But then sometimes when I am home, they're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Right. Don't go there, Melissa.
Yeah, cover your buttons, honey. Yeah. They know how to push them. Yeah. No, but no, yeah, and my husband and I had that debate too because I initially tried working after I had my oldest, and it just wasn't working for a variety of reasons. But we had that dialogue about, you know, well, economically, who is it going to make more sense for, you know, to stay home? I think he would have been great. They would have had a heck of a lot more fun with him as the parent at home.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. And, but, you know, I think a lot more families are having sort of that very, you know, even-handed, egalitarian discussion about, okay, well, what is best? And, yeah, a lot of times, though, finances, family finances are driving it.
Gee, I hope so. I mean, particularly in this day and age.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the act of parenting is what led to it and what led to the decision is one thing. But the act of parenting, is it much different for? I mean, it's a different gender. So there, you said it would be more fun if it would have been Dick, Jane.
Yeah.
Was that because it was Dick or because he was?
I think. Well, do you think Melissa said that it's the dad's. Maybe prerogative or their natural instinct to maybe just get out and go a lot more. I mean, I was sort of more the hunker down and hang out at home
bake cookies.
Oh, and make grape jelly that I just brought for Ann today. Yeah, nice segue.
Well, that is my husband is the I'm the one that's always out. I'm in Toastmasters. He hates to go out. In fact, I'm the one that I do the Saturday exit. We both go to our son's football game.
Okay, yeah.
I do my daughter's cheerleading and I do my son's violin. So I'm the one that goes out most of the time. He'll make sure that everybody gets to their practices and stuff like that. But I'm the one that's go. And he's very happy sitting in his man cave, watching football games, baseball or whatever.
He's making it work. Yeah. Okay.
He is very happy at home. Matter of fact, I called him today because he has a grandchild and he has my neighbor's baby. One is 8-9 months old, and then my grandchild is old. So I called to say, okay, how they doing? We both sleep.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
That's a gift.
Like I said, I couldn't tell you the last, if I try to do a dish, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I was going to do the, no, you're not. I'm like, okay, I'll just go sit at home.
Just fly with it, Melissa. And Melissa, thanks for your call.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Got a couple more calls here. Dan, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying the program.
Thank you.
I like the thought of letting your child be who they are, not who you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that.
Oh, good.
And, of course, the focus on local is really good. I'm wondering if, Ann, you had a group on not too long ago with the Children and Nature Network.
Yes.
The Leave No Child Inside.
Child Inside.
Right. That repeat ran, I think, on Friday, too, because I saw a lot of emails.
Yeah.
And the local chapter is kidsinnature.org, and they're having a big rally this Friday at the Audubon Center. And I was just wondering if your magazine was planning to cover that.
I know it's on our calendar, and you know what? We can give them a shout-out on our Facebook. We're finding that's a really effective tool for getting people's attention really close to an event. But that's definitely – so you said kidsinnature.org, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. No, I know the Leave No Child Inside is on the calendar for upcoming events, but yeah, because that's, is that Alice Hall is the coordinator?
Yeah, from, yes.
Okay, yeah. No, that's, yeah, that's one very near and dear to my heart, without a doubt, so absolutely.
Great. All right,
okay.
Dan.
And one other comment.
Sure.
We have a really neat discussion course at Simply Living called Healthy Children, Healthy Planet.
Okay.
And it's truly a dialogue and discussion course where there's no teacher, and mm-hmm. the parents themselves become the active participants in these small group discussions.
And okay.
We've had very good success with that.
Well, Dan, can you send me an email? I'm Jay Hawes. It's J-H-A-W-E-S. At columbusparent.com.
Okay.
All right. And if there's anything we can do for you, just let me know. But definitely, and also our calendar, any organization is welcome to use it and to submit their events. It does pass by Human Eyes. Our calendar's editor, Nikki Davis, looks at everything to make sure it's appropriate. But if you just go to our website, columbusparent.com, right on the homepage, there is a way to submit your events for our calendar. And that definitely gets the most hits on our website is the calendar.
I will do that.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Omar. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you doing? And thanks for having me. And my question is, I'm just Somalian, but, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes when I go to, you know, the library in Columbus, mm-hmm. I see that, you know, that in Columbus Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the program she's been doing and so far. But, you know, my question is, you know, why she's not covering the Somalian kids and the Somalian parents so far, you know, as you know, and Somalian have a problem with, you know, there is a lot of stereotype in mm-hmm. Somalia, not here, but, you know, we want to see, you know, more coverage from Somalian kids or parents who don't know what's going on in this country. Some mm-hmm. of them, they fled the war.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we are Somalian, right now we're not Somalian. We are American. We want to see, mm-hmm. you know, more coverage from that, you know.
Are you,
program.
Omar, are you interested in more coverage of the issues that face Somalians, or are you just more interested in seeing the Somali community represented?
Just activities from the activists, just the only thing I'm interested in, I'm not interested in the political party. I'm just interested in, you know, the mm-hmm. kids, what they want and what they like it and their
okay.
goal. That's what we like to see.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know we're working with the Harmony Project. I don't know if you're familiar with them, and I know they have links with the Somalian community. We're going to be doing something in January about it's a really neat program that's getting kids from around the city involved in something that's going to educate them about nutrition and music and the arts, and it's going to be happening at the Lincoln Theater. That's one where I know I've definitely heard that there's a connection been made. The other thing, though, I would strongly encourage you, as I did Dan, just, you know, the other caller, is use our calendar, any organization that you're with, to get the word out there, because I can't find it all myself, nor, you know, can my you know, colleagues. So, yeah.
Okay, Omar.
Thank you so much, Phil. I appreciate that.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's all the time we have. We've run out of time,
oh
Jane.
My gosh.
It just flies
wow.
by.
It did.
Thanks so much to Jane Hawes, editor
you.
Of Columbus Parent Magazine, for joining us today. Lots of calls. If you have any more questions, you can go to columbusparent.com. That's their website, and I'm sure there's connections there and links you can make, and you can join them on Facebook and all kinds of stuff. But that's all the time we have now. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820, NPR News.